This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to Hot Start on EAA Radio.
Yep. And with us today in the studio here, courtesy of Phillips 66, is Steve Strollo.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. Great.
Great. This is a...
We're going to talk about oil.
We
Nobody
are.
Talks about oil until they run out of it.
Well, that's
then
right.
Then it's important.
That's right. That's right. This is really exciting for me, at least, to be here.
Cool. And first time here?
No, this is actually the third time.
Oh, boy.
Different topic, though, I think.
Good. All right. There's so many different types of oil out there, full synthetics, mineral oil. The first question I have, and this is something I had heard, that full synthetic oil is not good for engine break-in because it's so slippery they would say that the parts wouldn't wear in and seat properly, rings and bearings. Is that true?
You could probably still break in an engine with a full synthetic or a semi-synthetic. I think the issue with the use of either a full synthetic or a semi-synthetic, at least for piston aviation engines, is the lack of solubility associated with a full synthetic or a semi-synthetic. Full synthetics and semi-synthetics are great for over-the-road engines, cars and trucks. Phillips 66 makes plenty of full and semi-synthetic oils for those applications. The difference being that over-the-road engines are generally always water-cooled, and they don't have lead in the fuel, right? Not the case with piston aviation engines. We're still using leaded fuel, at least for the time being, for most engines. And being air-cooled, the clearances are much greater than they are with a water-cooled engine. As a consequence, you get a lot of blow-by, a lot of crud, a lot of junk into your oil. So a lot of blow-by gases in a piston aviation engine, as well as, you know, lead salts from burning leaded fuel. And semi-synthetics, and you can talk to lots of rebuilders that'll tell you this, don't have the same solubility as does 100% mineral oil for dissolving, you know, these lead salts and this sludge and crud and blow-by gases that can get into your oil. So that's the distinction between the two, semi-synthetic mineral oil in piston aviation engines. And when I say a mineral oil, I'm talking about refined crude oil that comes out of the ground.
Right.
That's by definition what a mineral oil is. A lot of people in the general aviation segment have this misconception that a mineral oil is an oil without an ashless dispersant in it, right, for break-in purposes only.
Okay. So you're saying without this solubility, these contaminants end up coating the interior of the engine.
That's right. You get a lot of sludge. You get a lot of deposits, perhaps in the ring groove or, you know, in the sump itself, which is basically just a cosmetic thing, but deposits everywhere, you know.
Not good.
No, not at all.
Right.
You know, and one of the things that's coming up, and we saw they have a booth here, Swift Fuel. Now, that's an unleaded fuel. How is that going to affect motor oil in an aircraft engine?
That's a good question. It's something we're looking at, something that we've got some preliminary data on. It should probably have no bearing upon it whatsoever, but the jury's still out on that.
Well, I would think as part of the FAA certification, that's one of the things they have to look at.
Sure.
It's contaminant building and solubility. And let's talk about weights of oils.
Right.
You know, this is Wisconsin. Now it's 90 degrees.
But sure.
So you want to go fly in January, you're dealing with single digits.
Sure.
So what kind of oils do I want to use? We're old Volkswagen guys.
Right.
So I always used to run 1040, a heavier weight oil, because it was an air-cooled engine.
Sure.
So talk about that in airplane engines.
Yeah. Well, we're, you know, Phillips, we make straight weight oils, single viscosity oils, in other words, and multi-weight or multi-viscosity oils. So we make them both, but we're proponents of using a multi-weight year-round, right? Like our XC20W50 for a horizontally opposed engine, at least. For, you know, the reasons of which you guys and most people out there in the audience are probably aware of, that multi-weight oils are thinner at ambient temperatures and therefore they're superior at lower temperature starting situations because of their thinner, then the oil is going to actually circulate throughout your engine much more readily. And the name of the game as far as preventing wear and friction in an engine is to keep your metal moving parts separated by a very thin film of oil, so that the quicker that oil actually gets to these moving surfaces, the sooner this lubrication film actually develops. A lot of people have this misconception, though, that Well, you know, it's 90 degrees, or I live in, you know, Arizona, and I never need to use a multi-weight. But even at 60 degrees Fahrenheit, which is not particularly cold, you'll see a big difference in the viscosity of a multi-weight versus a straight weight. The multi-weight will be about 45% less viscous. So again, that means that the oil is just going to get to your parts much more readily if it's less viscous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It also makes a difference on starting, too, because you've got thinner oil instead of molasses in the engine.
Oh, you bet, you bet. Another reason that people will cite for not wanting to use a multi-weight is that the oil's thinner at ambient temperature, and as a consequence, it's going to more thoroughly drain off your parts than will a straight weight. And intuitively, that makes sense, right? You would. But it's not actually the case. And the next step in that thought process is if the oil more thoroughly drains off the parts, then it's not going to be providing rust and corrosion protection while the engine actually sits. And that's not true. Again, intuitively it makes sense, but we've actually done some testing at our laboratory in Oklahoma, which I can go into detail, but I don't think we have time and it's kind of boring. But the consequence of the testing was that there's no difference in film thickness for metal parts at rest.
Right, I would think the heavier oil just takes longer to drain off.
You're exactly right. But at the end of the day, or at the end of, you know, about 48 hours, which is when the two equalize, the film thickness is exactly the same.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter whether you're using a single weight or a multi-weight oil, the protection is still the same.
As far as the film thickness, that's exactly right.
That's an exciting job. What did you do at work today, Dad? I watched the engine rust.
Welcome to the wonderful world of corrosion.
There you go. There you go.
Exciting stuff.
Ashless dispersant is a term we always hear in aviation oils, but I have no idea what that means.
Well, it's an additive. It's an additive, as the name implies. It's a dispersant that keeps things in suspension, right? And the things that it keeps in suspension are contaminants, like these blow-by gases that I talked about, or lead salts and things like that. So it keeps them in suspension, so these contaminants, which are especially present in air-cooled engines because of the broad tolerances and blow-by gases that we alluded to before, keeps these contaminants in suspension so they don't settle out all over internal passageways and in ring grooves and things like that. And they also, by keeping them in suspension, allow them, the contaminants, to be drained out of the engine when you change your oil. So that's what an ashless dispersant is. There's this misconception that you can't break in an oil if it has an ashless dispersant in it. That's not true either. You know, we've successfully recommended, you know, XC, which is an ashless dispersant oil, from break-in to TBO, since it was introduced in 1979, and regardless of what the metallurgy is for your, you know, your cylinder barrels and your rings, it works. I'm not quite sure where this got started from. That
right.
is the need to use an oil without an ashless dispersant, or what people call a mineral oil for braking purposes.
Right. So the philosophy really is break it in and fly it like you're going to use it. Just don't change a thing. Do the same thing all the way through its life.
Well, that's our position as far as the oil is concerned.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Well, oil has been a great source of controversy over the years. You can't go and look through the flying magazines without running across an article regarding oil here and there, usually about once a year.
Sure.
You can count on two things from the flying magazines: discussions about oil and discussions about changing weather and how to adapt to it.
Sure.
And they both kind of tie in to each other, because obviously in the colder climates, you've got to preheat your engine.
Right.
The reason for that is mostly to thin the oil out.
Exactly. And allow it to circulate during startup, and to allow, you know, cranking speed to be sufficient enough for the engine to actually start. Yeah. I wrote such an article recently. A lot of the same material keeps getting rewritten, you know, every couple of years. And I'm
it's a good lesson too, because a lot of people aren't paying attention to it. They just you know, slop some oil in the engine and we'll be fine.
Sure.
But
you could argue that when your engine burns / leaks 12 gallons an hour, it's not in there long enough to do much of anything.
it's like a once through type oiling system.
Yeah, really.
Continuous oil change, they call it.
and one of the other things to bear in mind too, the guys who own Warbirds, you know, are there differences in the oils that they would use from, say, a Merlin engine to a Pratt & Whitney radial?
A Merlin is a straight arranged engine. Is
that it's a V12 water cooled.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly speak to the Pratt Whitney radial engine, and that would just be a similar oil to what you use for a horizontally opposed engine, but a thicker viscosity.
Okay.
You know, for those people that would want to use a straight grade, I'm talking about radials here, it would be like an SAE 60 or a commercial grade 120, or if they want to use a multi-way, it would be like our XC25W60. The Merlin, I'd be guessing, but I would assume, well, I'd just be guessing. So I don't want to guess. It being a water-cooled engine might be a little bit different.
Very good.
Look at the service manual is what I'd suggest in that case.
Well, thank you, Steve Stroller, for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Like I said, it was pretty exciting for me to be here.
Well, we're glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well,
and we've enjoyed it, and we've learned something about oil.
Yep. It's pretty
slippery. It's not just a splotch on the floor.
That's right.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.